Hello. Nice that you could join us. The account of the last 36 hours or so of Jesus' life is recorded in all four Gospels. The account that we're looking at this morning from John excludes some details found in the other Gospels, but expands on other details. The whole account of the last hours, particularly in the passage that we have just read, is about the amazing submission of Christ. Love like no other. There is an inevitability about everything that is about to happen. Jesus has known from the beginning this is what would happen. Verse 1 tells us that the Passover meal had just finished in the upper room and Jesus left with his disciples. It wasn't a long journey. In fact, the laws said that no lengthy journey could be undertaken on the Sabbath Passover festival. We know what those exclusions are like nowadays as well. And as he'd gone through the city, he would have probably noticed other Passover meals going on as he looked through lighted windows. The path would eventually left the city, crossing over the stream of Hebron, and then he would have worked his way up into the lower slopes of the Mount of Olives to possibly a private garden, a garden as scripture records that he'd been to before. You see, Jesus had planned every aspect of these last hours. Verse 2 shows us that Judas would have certainly known where to go. And indeed, Judas turned up with a number of his friends. If the arrest had occurred in Jerusalem itself, then maybe some of Jesus' followers would have had the same reaction that Peter was to have a few moments later. And the arrest would have been a much messier affair than actually it was. The group that came with Judas consisted, as we are told, of officers from the high priest's office. It was required by law that it was the high priest who had to arrest Jesus rather than the Romans. But with them was a band of Roman soldiers. The original word for the translation band came from actually meant up to a group of 1,000 soldiers. Obviously, that was not the case here, but one surmises that would certainly a reasonable number of soldiers, because I suspect the Romans were expecting Jesus not to come quietly. But as we're thinking, Jesus submitted himself fully. And it was in fact Jesus in verses 4 and 5 who offered himself. "Who are you looking for?" he said. The guards immediately said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then something very remarkable happened. As Jesus said, "I am he," those guards fell down backwards. We're not told why it happened. Maybe it was the realization that they were going to arrest somebody whose miracles, both body and nature, everyone had heard about. Maybe, as strict Jews, they may well have remembered the significance of those words, "I am." It was the sacred name that God was referred to in the Old Testament. Anyhow, Jesus admitted that he was the right man, and as he was arrested in verse 9, he asked that the disciples be released. This is probably unusual because one would have expected the disciples as accomplices to be arrested. But Jesus had planned everything and he had predicted a few months earlier in John 6:39 that actually no harm would come to the disciples. Peter reacted in verse 10 in the way that Peter normally reacts. He took a sword and struck an ear of one of the servants. And it is recorded in Luke that Jesus touched that wound and it was immediately healed. So Jesus willingly submitted himself to be arrested. And in verse 11, he says those chilling words that I'm ready to drink the cup. What did the cup signify? Well, in the Old Testament, the cup was the symbol of God's judgment. It was the symbol of God's wrath that was going to be rained down on his only son for all the sins the world had ever committed. Jesus totally submitted himself. Love like no other. Let's just pray.